én kofferidem, és ne zsáj. Lebár ti samostámi van tiszte dolgok, hogy nékene. Tom dolgok szavarát a patrőr. Én ezt pedig nem tudom, fremmel. Patrőr dolgok zagléran, madonna, én osvon.
Rész.
Egy palné, mlát, mlát, én tot is szív. Szív, не та німські обчайні, чорні батони. Право тиста, право вовк. Красно.
Радійські згодби о людях, які устварюють дух часу на радіо студент.
Dragi publikum Radija Študent, dober večer. V današnjem duhu časa vam bomo poskušali pojasniti, kaj in zakaj se dogaja in v katero smer se razvija tako imenovana druga revolucija v Ukrajini, ki naj bi bila le nadaljevanje neuspele in po besedah aktivistov ukradene oranžne revolucije z pričetkom leta 2004. Da na samem začetku pojasnimo par stvari. In sicer po naših virih naj bi bilo danes v Ukrajini blokiranih večina internetnih strani, predvsem nevladnih organizacij. Izklopili naj bi tako televizijo kot radijske postaje in tako da popolnoma deluje le ena televizija v lasti oligarha. Zdaj po drugem viru naj bi ta izklop, recimo temu interneta, televizije in pa radijskih postaj, bil omejen izključno na sam center Kijeva. Naša prva sogovornica je Irena Stamanjuk, ki je v Sloveniji na izmenjavi v okviru Evropske prostovoljne službe in trenutno dela v mladinskem centru Trbovlje. Prisluhnimo, kaj ima ona povedati, kaj se dogaja danes v Kijevu in Ukrajini.
I think there is no information, like truly information spreading now, because mostly our media is blocking now, and for example, my friends, I was speaking them through Facebook, and they wrote me that mostly the TV channels, they are not working. Today they switch off all of the TV channels, and only one sources that we have to get information is social media, as Twitter, Facebook, and that's the only way that information, the fast information is going to get people know. Then also many media, it belong to our oligarchs, that's like under their power, and for them it's not very useful to spread this truly information when the police is hunting a people, because it's illegal, that's forbidden, of course. And like right now, what I know that from Chernihiv, it's a city in Ukraine, the president, he said that it should be a mobilization around all country, and all of military soldiers should go to the capital, but by this moment, people are blocking the military buildings in almost in every city where they're trying to go from the blocks. And also also from Chernihiv went tanks. I don't know how much, but it was also on Facebook that people now are blocking tanks. Don't let them come to the capital, because now the number of police it's around 8,000, and the number of protesters it's more smaller, and protesters don't have guns or something.
No, skratka, kot ste lahko slišali že iz izjave, naj bi iz kraja Črnijev, ki leži na severovzhodnem delu Ukrajine, ukrajinski predsednik Viktor Janukovič odredil, se pravi, neko splošno mobilizacijo. Iz tega kraja pa naj bi dejansko tudi odrinili tanki in so na poti proti Kijevu. Nadaljevali bomo z našo drugo sogovornico, in sicer je Svetlana Zališčuk. Z njo smo govorili pred približno 4 urami. In sicer prihaja iz nevladne organizacije česno.org oziroma česen.org. In sicer pred 4 urami pa so prav tako potekala pogajanja med ukrajinskim predsednikom Viktorjem Janukovičem in opozicija. Opozicija je nekako postavila ultimat, in sicer Viktor Janukovič ima 24 ur časa, da razpiše nove volitve. No, s temi pogajanji, kot kaže, ni nič, bila so neuspešna. Nadaljuje pa Svetlana Zališčuk. Kaj se dogaja v Ukrajini?
At this particular moment, we received the information, and I keep on receiving it, that they... And what we've heard, that from the main streets, people are being evacuated. Our NGO, and other two famous media, like online newspaper, and also public TV, Romatska TV, most popular internet television, we are sitting on the 13th floor of one of the government buildings, and people are being evacuated from this building, and it's pretty far from the center. So it means that we expect a very strong demonstration of the power from the government. At the same time, the only hope is that now the leaders of opposition at this moment, they are talking to the president. And I have to say, since the start of the revolution, there was this demand from the leaders of opposition to the president to talk, to have a dialogue, and it was not really there. But today, Yanukovych, the president, confirmed the meeting. So they are now, they have a conversation. We don't know about the results of it. I do hope that nothing bad will happen. But still, so far, last night, the whole ambience, the whole atmosphere, and the whole, I would say, yeah, the status of revolution also was changed, because before we were a peaceful protest, but now, today, we have 2 deaths. And we received also more information about more death on the, in the suburb of Kyiv. People were found dead with the trace of tortures. And we are very, very warned that actually it can be also people that are pretty famous and known for their active position, anti-governmental position. And it's, of course, unbelievable. We couldn't imagine that it's going to happen.
No, po zadnjih informacijah so bile prav tako blokirane vse strani socialnih omrežij, se pravi med njimi Facebook in Twitter. No, nadaljevali pa bomo s ključnimi datumi in pa dogodki, ki so pripeljali do današnjih razmer, ki se odvijajo v Ukrajini. In sicer eden od teh je bil 21. november, ko je kabinet predsednika Viktorja Janukoviča oznanil, da ne bo podpisal pridružitvenega sporazuma z Evropsko unijo. Drugi ključen datum je bil 30. november, ko je policija prvič napadla v Kijevu protestnike in med njimi jih 35 tudi pridržala. Kasneje med temi pomembnimi datumi lahko omenimo 17. december, ko je Rusija potrdila, da bo kupila ukrajinske državne obveznice v vrednosti 11 milijard evrov in zmanjšala ceno plina, ki ga Ukrajina kupuje od Rusije za skoraj polovico. Na to je sledil 30. december, ko so kijevske ulice prevzeli pravzaprav 100 tisoč protestnikov. Potem pa zdaj najbolj aktualni dogodki seveda pa nekako datirajo od 16. januarja, ko so sprejeli novo zakonodajo, kar se tiče protestov. In pravzaprav preko te zakonodaje so še dodatno kriminalizirali proteste. No, kot izredno pomemben datum oziroma kot nek prelomen datum pa lahko omenimo današnji dan oziroma prehod iz včerajšnjega dneva na današnjega. Namreč v bojih s policijo v Kijevu zaradi strelnih ran umreta dva protestnika, po nekaterih informacijah je žrtev že pet. Vsaj za dva se domneva, da ste bila ustreljena strani, se pravi, snajperja oziroma po slovensko ostrostrelca. Pa pojdimo nekako na sam začetek, se pravi na 21. november, da je naša sogovornica Svetlana pojasni, da je dogajanje v Ukrajini potrebno razumeti ne kot proteste, ampak nadaljevanje oranžne revolucije, ki jim je bila ukradena.
It is absolutely obvious that it was not one of the regular protests that happened in Ukraine, or you can't compare it to some of the protests that are usually happening in other countries. It was an absolutely historical, I would say, event for Ukraine. In 2004, people understood what they didn't want, and that is how Orange Revolution was born that time. They didn't want that their votes are stolen, basically. And they cared about this. They wanted to decide. And in 2013, people finally understand what they want, and what they want is a European future. So I would underline this, that the fact that people went into the streets was their decision about their identity, on where they want their country should go. It was not about salaries, not about pensions, not about state budget, or despite the fact that the economic situation in Ukraine is very bad, and unlike those countries that these protests are happening in, let's say, Greece or France, for our country, it was much more about values and about identity once again. So people went into the streets because they wanted Ukraine to become a European country, because they wanted to change the system in the country. And this is how it started on the 21st of November, that when government adopted a decree that they abolish or change their policy and not going to sign association agreement anymore. And that time we had up to 10,000 people are standing at the main square of our country in Kyiv, in the capital, at Maidan. This is how it is called, Euro Maidan, European Maidan, European Square. But we stood there for 9 days. My organization, my friends, my colleagues, were those people who were one of the actors there, one of the coordinators.
No, naj vam prvo pojasnim, pravzaprav z kolegico, z novinarko spremljava praktično skozi celoten potek te oddaje, kaj se dogaja v Kijevu. No, po zadnjih podatkih naj bi policija celo napadla novinarje, in pa prej sem pozabil omeniti, da iz kraja Črnijev, spravi, ko so praktično tanki začeli odhajati iz vojašnice, je tam masa ljudi pravzaprav to ustavila, ampak kot kaže, so tanke premestili na vlake in ne bi že prispeli v Kijev. No, mi pa, če nadaljujemo s to oddajo, eden od ključnih datumov, kot smo že omenili, je bil tudi 30. november. Nadaljuje pa Svetlana.
But on 30th of November, we had another stage. The whole Euromaidan became transformed into another stage. That night, and I was there, and I left it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and 1 hour later, 4 o'clock and 10 minutes, police brutally dismissed the students. There were a couple of hundreds of students who still were there during the night. And next morning, the whole country was just shocked by the brutality that government dared to demonstrate against their citizens, against their children, basically, against the youngsters who were standing there in support of those strategic goals that were proclaimed by the president, by the government, and that were adopted on the level of the legislations as well in the parliament. So there was no contradiction between that things that president were saying us for three last years that he wants to join the European Union, and between those things that these students and us were supporting for all those days and still are during your revolution.
No, nadaljevali bomo z 30. decembrom.
As I said, on the 30th of December, hundreds of thousands of people went into the streets. And then we saw that there are we are not just hundreds, we are not thousands, but we are hundreds of thousands. And I have to say that it was the historical turnout of people on the streets, not only for Ukraine, but I would say for any European country that I remember since ever. I don't remember such popular protests in any country, even within the European Union. So from that time on, we had number of so-called Vice, which is council, a very popular gatherings of people. Well, basically, it's already yesterday. It was 2 months since the revolution started, and since then, people didn't leave the streets, and many are living there, in the streets, in the center of Kyiv. And center of the Kyiv looks like during, I don't know, revolution times, maybe 1917. It looked like this, with a lot of barricades and a lot of tents. And people, despite the fact that it's minus 10 or 15 even these days, people still live there. And every Sunday, leaders of opposition and civil society leaders were calling for people to go into streets, because many people, of course, still keep on working and go to universities and live their life. But they definitely, anyway, on Sunday, when it was weekends, they were coming almost, not almost, but every Sunday they were coming to Maidan. And maybe you have seen these historical videos and pictures from New Year Eve, when there were standing, I don't know, several hundreds of thousands of people at midnight, meeting, celebrating the New Year with one single wish for our country that changes has to be there, and wishing for our country to become a European country.
No, 16. januarja je Ukrajinska vrhovna rada oziroma njihov parlament sprejel to sporno novo zakonodajo, kar se tiče protestov, po kateri so pač še bolj kriminalizirali same proteste oziroma zbiranja. Med drugim celo grozi 15-letna zaporna kazen tistim osebam, ki tako ali drugače žalijo vladne predstavnike oziroma predsednika. No, od tu naprej nadaljuje Svetlana Zališčuk.
On the 16th of January, the parliament illegally, in an anti-constitutional way, adopted the package of the repressive laws that basically just stressed the citizens' rights in Ukraine on freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of gathering, freedom of association, and so forth. And for example, us, we are NGO, we are getting some grants from, let's say, I don't know, Dutch embassy, and for that we should be called foreign agents, and basically none of our initiatives, well, the initiatives that we do are called political activity in that laws, and we should be closed because of that. These laws should be will be enforced in 3 months. So we'll see what's going to happen during these weeks. But also let me tell you that about the reaction of the international community. Of course, we have very strong support, first of all, by rhetorics, by the messages from the leaders of United States and also European Union and other countries. But what we need is really very concrete steps. As for today, the US government announced that they abolish visas to a number of high-ranking authorities, officials that were involved into the violence during these days. They didn't announce, they didn't disclose the names of these people, but we presume who are they. But also we ask Europeans to take appropriate measures, because many of those parliamentarians who were adopting these laws, I mean, these repressive laws, which was called by Carl Bildt, the foreign minister of Sweden, the most repressive package of laws that he have seen for decades that was adopted by any of the European country. And also a number of our representatives of the government, including President and his family, are having accounts, of course, in the European countries and have their residences, their apartments, their houses in the European countries. And we made a lot of, Ukrainian journalists had made a lot of investigations about these facts, and they are all known, and they sent to the embassies and to European Commission. So we do expect stronger and very concrete reaction from European Union.
No, naj omenimo, da so razmere od te nedelje pa do danes v Ukrajini, predvsem v prestolnici Kijevu, postale dokaj kaotične. Naj omenimo, da so v teh minulih dneh na trgu neodvisnosti oziroma na Majdanu protestniki zasegli celo eno od stavb in tam kaj zadrževali nekje okrog 30 talcev, in sicer da se javno opravičijo za nasilje, ki so ga povzročali na ulicah. Zdaj, če nadaljujemo z najnovejšim oziroma podatkom, ja, ukrajinski premier Mikola Azarov je posvaril, da izredno kruti ekstremisti napadajo posebne enote oziroma enoto tajne policije Berkuta, ki skrbi za red in mir ob takih dogodkih. Zdaj, če nadaljujemo z našo vdajo, Svetlano smo vprašali oziroma kako komentira očitke, da je opozicija izgubila kontrolo nad protesti oziroma revolucijo, ter da se ni distancirala od skrajnih desnih skupin, med njimi recimo Desni Vektor in pa Stranka Svoboda?
Well, first of all, on the leaders of opposition, they did distance themselves from far-right sector, or rather, I would say in that case, in different way. They distanced themselves from those people who are now presented, demonstrated the violations at the European Square, so-called, near Hrushevsko Street. And the main events are happening now since Sunday there. And they said that they have nothing to do with those people who are standing there. Moreover, for a number of times, they were trying to withdraw people from there and to calm it down, but it didn't work, and people were not listening to them. And they were humiliated there, and people didn't support them there. So all of them were coming there and trying to pull people from there, but they didn't listen to them. So this is first comment. Other comment, the profile of protester. It's, talking about the profile, we still have, it didn't change from the very beginning of the revolution. These are young people. They represent more or less the whole country, but of course with much more accent to western part of the country. And they're very active users of internet.
No, za zadnjo izjavo vam bomo predvajali kot neke vrste najavo in pa tudi povabilo, če želite se udeležiti protesta. Jutri ob 3 bo namreč pred ukrajinsko ambasado na Viču v Ljubljani, na Tesovi ulici 23, potekal protest ukrajinskih državljanov, ki živijo v Sloveniji. Več pa bo povedala Irena Stamanjuk.
So the protest will be at 3 p.m. at the embassy of Ukraine that's in Ljubljana. And I don't know, there should be people who are Ukrainian minority in Slovenia and they belong to some organization that we have. Then we did before three protests in Ljubljana and it was connected to the this event that happened in Ukraine when our government declined the agreement with European Union. And tomorrow it will be about it will be to support now our protesters and about laws that they accept 16th of January, the laws about dictatorship, that everything is forbidden for media, for free speaking. Then also to support and to remember the people who died this morning. It's 4 people and so like this.
No, toliko za danes. Jaz upam, da ste dobili kakšne nove informacije, kaj novega zvedeli. Skratka, Zeitgeist sem pripravil Luka Počivalšek z znatno pomočjo vajenke, ali še do konca tega tedna, Anuše. Tehniciral je Jure Bajt. Poslušali pa ste ukrajinskega DJ-ja Fenom s komadom Tortures. Lepo pozdravljeni.
Pridem jaz nazaj, pa ti samo ostani, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa treba, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna enožo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to ti siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volka. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.